Our reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 6, and it's verses 19 through to 24. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Amen.
Thank you so much, Steve. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a field. When a man had found it, he buried it again, sold all that he had had, and bought the field. Is what you are living for worth your life? That's a question I want us to think about today. Is what I'm living for worth my life? Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I don't know if you remember the first time that you encountered a mothball, but if you're like me, it went something like this. You're playing hide and seek at your grandparents' house, and you catch on to the idea that, oh, this closet or this wardrobe might be a good place to hide, and you get back there behind a coat or something, and there's a funny smell, and it's almost sweet. But something's not quite right. And so you're digging around and you find these little things that look a lot like candy. And you wonder, should I eat one of these? But you have to wait until your grandmother or grandfather finds you and you say, why did you leave so much candy in here? And they say, you didn't eat one of those, did you? Thankfully, no, your patience paid off. But we use these mothballs to preserve nice clothes. I think that was the first time I knew what a moth was. So I was prepared when I heard this passage as a child. I thought, oh, that's moths. They don't like those little candy things, and I can't eat them either. But apparently moths can destroy earthly treasures. Something that looks like a mothball, but is much more valuable, is the subject of one of John Steinbeck's books. So John Steinbeck wrote Grapes of Wrath and East of Eden, and he also wrote this thin little book called The Pearl. And The Pearl is a story that he begins by saying, many people have told this story. I'm not the first one to say it. I may be the first one to write it down, though. And so he begins to tell this parable about a family that lives in a fishing village, and the husband or the son finds a pearl. And they decide, this is it. This is everything. All our problems will be solved. We'll be rich. This is the biggest pearl that I've ever seen. And so they devote their lives to this treasure. And when their focus is so fixed on the treasure, they can't see the threats closing in as so many evil men and robbers attempt to take their life and their livelihood and their home, and so they have to flee. And so the very thing that they thought would bring them security exposed their greatest vulnerability, because their treasure was placed in something ephemeral, something that came from the bottom of the sea. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths destroy and where thieves break in and steal. So the question for you and I today is, where is my treasure? Am I trying to preserve things that ultimately don't matter? Is my treasure here, or is my treasure in heaven? Am I focused on earthly things, or am I focused on eternal things? A pastor in Jackson, Mississippi, did this illustration with a yardstick, but I had a tape measure, so I figured I would use that. He said, think about your life as if it was an inch on a tape measure. And you've got this little bit of time there. It's about as wide as your thumb. And think about eternity as something that goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And suddenly your inch seems insignificant when placed in a proper perspective. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where thieves break in and steal, and where moth and rust destroy, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where thieves do not break in and steal, where moths and rust do not destroy. Don't trade eternity for an inch. This is eternity. Are we living our life for this earth, or am I living my life for something that has eternal worth? Andy Stanley's written a book called The Principle of the Path, and it's really an entire book about the fact that cause and effect really works. He says the decisions we make today will affect our future. And so it's a simple book, but for simple people, sometimes I need to read that and understand that the things that I do will have an impact on my future. The choices I make today could impact eternity. So will I choose something today that matters now? Will you choose something today that matters now? Or will you choose to live a life that will matter forever? He said in the book, there are all kinds of actions that feel extreme now that will look like common sense when you're looking back. What feels like a sacrifice now will feel like an investment later on. Think about your life as an inch. You've got an inch to invest in eternity. What are you going to do with this inch? Will you choose something that only matters for a short amount of time, or will you choose to do something that will matter for eternity? And the problem is that I get my vision distorted. We get things out of focus. I imagine sometimes you get things out of focus too. And so we begin to deceive ourselves. He continues in the book, our problem is rarely a lack of information or insight. It's not that we fail to see trouble brewing on the horizon. It's a lack of honesty. We have a hard time leveling with ourselves. We deceive ourselves about why we choose the things we choose, and then we spin a web of excuses to protect ourselves, excuses that over time we begin to believe. So we convince ourselves that we have spiritual aims, that we're focused on eternity, but our lives tell a different story. So you need to run a spiritual diagnostic test. You need to run a spiritual EKG. See what's going on with your heart. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So you and I need to put ourselves to the test. You need to follow your time. Time is money. You need to follow your money. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So do some soul searching this week. Sit down and think, Where do I spend my time? Am I focused on things that will matter for this earth? Or am I focused on things that will matter for eternity? Look at the way that you spend your money. Sit down and ask the hard questions. What do I spend my money on? Am I focused on things that will be an earthly treasure? Or am I focused on spending on things that will make an eternal impact? Where is my treasure? Because that's where my heart is. That's the question you need to ask yourself this week. That's the question I need to ask myself. Where is my treasure? Because that's where my heart is. Is my heart in earthly things, or is my heart in eternal things? And then you need to be honest with yourself. Because the tendency is to have this pie in the sky ideal. Oh yeah, this is what I do. But if we look at our time and if we look at our money, unfortunately sometimes the truth is different than we'd like to present, because our vision gets distorted. We need to focus on the right thing. One time I was at the movies with my friends, and we went to go see some horror movie, and I regretted it about an hour in. And I didn't want to be there anymore, but they were still having a good time. So I got up and left and went into the one next door. And I was, I'll just watch whatever this is. And so I sit down, and everything was really blurry. And I couldn't focus on what was going on in the movie. I couldn't see anything, and I started to get a headache. And I was like, I've only been in here 5 or 10 minutes. I went, what's going on? And I looked, and at the bottom there was a little box with 3D glasses. And my vision was not ready to receive what was in front of me, because I didn't have the right lenses on. My perspective was skewed. I was disoriented. I had a headache. Sometimes in life, we know that there should be some coherence. We know that there should be a story going on. But the things that we're looking at are blurry. The things that happen in our life seem out of focus. The things that occur around us, the loud noise and the visual stimuli, overwhelms us. You and I need to wear the right glasses. You and I need to put on the right perspective so that we can interpret the information that's coming to us. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, the whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? You got to get your eyes checked. You got to get your eyes right. You've got to focus. You've got to focus. Andy Stanley encourages, continuing on that theme, to think about the statement, God, please turn my eyes from worthless things. Why? Because if I focus on worthless things, then I'll be drawn in the direction of worthless things. So as we think about where is our perspective, is it on earthly things? Is my perspective on eternal things? I'd also ask you to think about, where is your focus? Is your focus in the right place? Do you have on the 3D glasses of an eternal perspective? Because when your focus shifts, your direction shifts. Think about driving a car. You're going along, not the M25 because you're sitting, but you're going along a country lane, and you begin to look at something in the side. And what does the car do? The car follows your gaze, and your car begins to go off the side of the road. Or think about if you're cutting the grass and you get distracted by a bird or something, you look up, and then you look back at the line you've just done, and although you thought I was walking in a straight line, it's askew, and there's a noticeable diversion, because when your focus changes, your direction changes. So the things that you and I focus on determine the direction of our life. If the eye is bad, then the whole body is bad. If you're driving a car and you get distracted, your car is going to move. If you're cutting the grass and you look to the side, your lines aren't going to be right. The same thing is true on a much larger scale. If you and I lose focus on what's important in life, then when we look back, we'll be able to see that somewhere, somehow, things got out of focus. And it's time for some course correction. William Hendrickson says that lack of trust in God blurs our vision, for by being preoccupied with piling up wealth, that obscures the real goal of our existence. And he ultimately says that this kind of thinking defies all reasoning, for it barters the heavenly for the earthly. You and I forget about community with God and instead worship on the altar of stuff. We trade eternity for an inch. Don't barter heavenly things for earthly things. So, how do I get my eyes checked? How do I change my perspective? How do I focus on what is right? Frank Pollard said that the key is to get a perspective that is eternal. Get a perspective that is eternal. One of my favorite things about this series has been thinking about who spoke it. The Sermon on the Mount is such a famous thing, and it's quoted so often with the Lord's Prayer and judge not so you not won't be judged. And these things are kind of become hallmark phrases of society, really. But one of the things John has encouraged me to do as we've studied through this, and he's encouraged you to do as well, is to think about who spoke the Sermon on the Mount and think about his life. And so Jesus wasn't someone who said, think about eternal things and not earthly things, and then didn't do anything about it. This statement was very true in Jesus' life. And I think a moment of crisis or moment of decision is when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He got down on his knees and he asked the Father, "If there's any way, let this cup pass before me." But he said, "Not my will, but yours. Not my 33-year inch, Father, but your eternal will. Not my will, but yours." Jesus surrendered his life, his earthly time, for something that matters for eternity. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His steadfast character remained in what had to be an awfully hard decision, to submit to torture, to submit to death on the cross. But though he was in very nature God, he did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he humbled himself and he took on the nature of a servant, and he submitted himself to death, even death on a cross, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow. When Jesus made his decisions, he was not concerned about his present comfort. He was not concerned about a treasure on earth. He didn't have a place to lay his head. He was not concerned about things here on earth where thieves could break in and steal or moths could destroy. But he was focused on something eternal. He was focused on the salvation of your soul. He submitted himself to the wrath of God so that all sinners might be forgiven. Jesus understood what it meant to sacrifice an earthly perspective for something that matters eternally. So that's the choice that you and I have. Will I live for the kingdom of God, or will I live for the kingdom of stuff? Because, verse 24 says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This is the line in the sand. This is where the flourishing life begins. If you'll surrender the inch that you have, the time that you have, for eternal community with Jesus Christ, who loves you enough to come and die for you, then the flourishing life will begin. This is where the Beatitudes begin. This is where the blessed are begins. Is at the moment when we decide, the moment where you decide that my life is an inch, my life is a vapor, it's a breath, it's gone. And that's meaningless without an eternal perspective. But because there is a God who loves you on a personal level, who knows the hairs on your head and loves you anyway, the God who knows you intimately and loves you enough to give himself for you, then your inch can matter. Your inch can have an impact on eternity. You can bring others with you when you get to heaven. They say that there's one thing you can't do in heaven, and that's share your faith. But you can bring other people with you. Your life can matter. You can have an eternal impact if you'll surrender your inch for eternity. You will serve somebody. Bob Dylan sang that, so that's a reference for John. You got to serve somebody. I won't try to sing it like Bob Dylan, but you will serve God or you will serve money. Even Paul, the great apostle, had to say, you know, everything that I thought was gain, that is loss compared to knowing Jesus Christ. You will serve somebody. You'll serve God or you'll serve money. And so why could Paul say that? Why could he say that his previous life was nothing? Because his priorities changed. He made eternity a priority. Because his perspective changed. He stopped caring about the things that matter only on earth, but he started caring about things that will matter for eternity. His focus changed. The things that Paul was focused on were now anathema to him. He didn't want to kill Christians. He wanted to make more Christians. So his focus completely changed. So that's the call to you and I today. Will I let God change my perspective? Will I let God change my focus? Will I serve God or will I serve money? You will serve somebody. So the question is, will you make Jesus your treasure today? Amen.